Our scripture today is based on a reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Thank you, God, for sending Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, to be with us through all our turbulent times. I'm going to be honest with you. As Election Day looms, I'm frankly very scared. I have trouble falling asleep some nights, thinking about votes and polls and results, thinking, what if he wins? What if he wins? The reports about possible violent reactions to the election results and no promise of a smooth transition of power really rattle me. We seem to be on the brink of chaos on top of the pandemic and the fires and the floods and the flu, all those impending disasters that are making themselves known these days. Pastors aren't immune to feeling helpless and immobile in the midst of chaos. After all, we're human too. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk you through the chaos letter by letter, walk with you to find a sense of peace and purpose and trust and faith, even as the waves crash over us and the walls fall down around us. Ultimately, we will discover that even in the midst of chaos, we have exactly what and who we long for. We'll be looking at moments of chaos in Jesus' life, a deadly storm on the sea, a woman sneaking hope for healing in the midst of a mob, Jesus' assurance of life in the face of death, the way Jesus can help our mental as well as our physical health, times when Jesus was in the midst of chaos and the way he brought people through it. Finally, we will see that all that chaos leads us to the Savior we need. So we start with the letter C. C is for calm. We find ourselves on a little fishing boat with Jesus and the disciples setting out across the Sea of Galilee, a trip of about 5 miles. Jesus had been teaching and preaching all day long, and now it was time to go to the other side of the lake. He was exhausted, so he curled up in the stern and fell asleep. Out of nowhere, as often happens on that lake, a windstorm blew up. The Sea of Galilee is also known as the Sea of Tiberias or the Lake of Gennesaret. It lies 700 feet below sea level, making it the world's lowest freshwater lake and the second lowest lake after the Dead Sea. It's surrounded by mountain gorges which act like giant funnels to draw down the cold winds from the mountains. These winds are not only violent, but they come down suddenly, often when the sky is perfectly clear. As the disciples and the sleeping Jesus boated along, one moment everything was smooth sailing, and the next it was utter chaos. As the winds grew stronger and the waves grew wilder, the disciples grew more panicky. Drenched and doused, wet and worried, they started throwing things overboard and frantically bailing out water, shouting and screeching to be heard above the howling winds. Then they looked around for Jesus and found him asleep. Their initial reaction was probably the same one we would have had. How can you sleep at a time like this? But apparently Jesus could sleep on a picket fence. How could he lie there so calmly slumbering as the water sloshed over him and soaked his pillow? Who wants to sleep on a wet pillow? And the wind screamed and the boat rocked to and fro, up one swell and down the other. The disciples' next reaction went off on a weird tangent. See, he's asleep. He's snoozing like a baby. That just means one thing. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what's going to happen to us. He doesn't care that we're about to sink and drown and die. Now, not only in a panic, but also angry, the disciples descended on Jesus en masse and shook him awake. By gum golly, if they were gonna drown, Jesus was gonna wake up and drown right along with them. Their fear and desperation are not the reactions one would expect from guys who had sailed on the lake for years. Some of the disciples were fishermen who'd been through this kind of thing before. It wasn't like this was the very first time they'd ever been caught in a storm on the lake. Surely before, when the going got rough on the sea, they pulled themselves together and rowed the storm out. They battened down the hatches and grabbed a mast to hold on to, knowing the storm would soon blow over and they could continue on their merry way. But this time, they imagined themselves actually enacting the song we heard earlier, lost at sea, hopeless and abandoned and doomed. They forgot not only how they'd come upon storms before and come through them before, but most of all, they forgot who was in the boat with them right at that moment. Did they expect Jesus would wake up and panic right along with them? That he would run up and down the deck screaming with them? Or perhaps he would frantically grab a bucket and scoop out puddles of water, only to have them splash right back into the boat? Did they expect Jesus to huddle with them, wringing his hands and wailing, "What do we do? What do we do?" If they had just stopped a moment to remember something he had said before they even set sail, they would have relaxed right then and there, and maybe even sat down beside Jesus to wait till the storm was through. Jesus had said, "Let us go across to the other side." He didn't say, "Let's go on the lake and meet up with a storm in the middle and all of us drown. Won't that be fun?" No, he had already assured them, even before they started out, that they would get to the other side. There was work to be done on the other side. Not even the unexpected storm was going to stop them from getting to the far side of the lake to meet, greet, teach, help, and heal the people over there. Jesus knew that, and he knew he had to be prepared for everything they would encounter. For him, it was the perfect time to take a nap. What were the disciples panicking for? Jesus was with them. Surely they had encountered these kinds of storms on the lake before and survived them without Jesus, but now they had him right in the boat with them. So why were they panicking? If the storm didn't wake and shake Jesus, why should the disciples let it shake them? What did they want Jesus to do? It doesn't seem as though they knew at that time in their journeying with Jesus that he could do miracles with the elements, with the wind and the waves and the weather. He'd cast out demons. He'd healed sick people and even lepers. They'd seen him do miracles like that. But could he stop rain and gale-force winds and unrelenting waves? Could he do something about that kind of stuff? Could he command and control nature? He could, and he did. What do you like when someone comes barging in on where you're sleeping all nice and sound, and they wake you up yelling and screaming and panicking, "Get up, get up, get up!" You're kind of grumpy when that happens, aren't you? It takes you a second or two to clear the fog from your head and realize what's going on. Now you have to drag yourself out of your dreams and confront reality. You are not going to be in the best of moods. As he woke up, Jesus immediately assessed what the disciples were freaking out about. The wind, the waves, the storms. He knew exactly what they needed. They didn't want to wait till the storm quit on its own. They wanted something to happen right now. Perhaps in our imaginations, we picture Jesus standing up in the boat and throwing out his arms and saying, "Peace, be still," like putting on a really big show. But perhaps he merely sat up, yawning and rubbing his eyes, and told the wind, "Will you shut up?" in a mild kind of voice. Literally, he said, "Be thou gagged." Perhaps he flicked his fingers at the sea as he said, "Peace, be still. Stop all that nonsense. You're scaring my dudes. Cut it out." To the disciples' awe, everything calmed down at once. A dead calm, the scripture says. The wind stopped howling. The sea was suddenly smooth as glass. The 12 of them turned to Jesus with eyes wide and jaws dropped. Jesus just shook his head at them. "Do you still have no faith?" he asked them. Is this the question Jesus is throwing at us in this moment of chaos, as the sea of our serenity and certainty suddenly starts roiling and boiling? Are we getting horribly seasick as our boat, our worldview, gets rocked and rolled and turned upside down? But what are we panicking for? Have we forgotten who's in the boat with us? Have we forgotten that we are not sailing alone? Jesus is with us. As stormy as the sea around us is getting, as frightening as the waves crashing around us are, waves of uncertainty and insecurity, we can cling to a number of sure things. We're all in this boat together, and we're all in this boat with Jesus. Did you capture in the scripture reading that there were some other boats out there with them, boats carrying people who wanted to follow Jesus? The calm came over them too. I wonder if they panicked like the disciples riding with Jesus. What would it have been like on the boat if instead of giving in at once to fear, the disciples had stopped to gather and center themselves and say, look over there, there's Jesus. He's asleep. If he can sleep through this, it must not be so bad. Let's all calm down. But calming down wasn't in the disciples' nature. I wouldn't want to call them drama queens, but hey, if the tiara fits, wear it. Of all people, Jesus' own disciples should still have faith that it would be okay. Especially us, when we read the many stories of how Jesus made everything all right, even when it seemed as though everything was falling apart. Even when we find ourselves swirling in deadly whirlpools that threaten to suck us in and take us under, we should have learned to sit tight, believing everything would be all right. And by now, we should know how to say, be of good cheer, Jesus is here. We can comfort ourselves by remembering he's done it before, he will do it again. There was a great calm, and there was a great storm, and there was a great calm. All because Jesus said, peace, be still. Jesus was not just talking to the wind and the waves. He was talking to the disciples. He's talking to us. So even as we set sail for a wacky week that will be full of the unexpected and the unnerving, we need to do a few things. First, don't contribute to the chaos. I will bet on the boat one disciple, probably impetuous, temperamental, overdramatic Peter, one of them got upset first and then upset all the others. It's like with a herd of horses. If one gets spooked, all the others are going to get spooked. One person shouting and wailing is sure to get everybody else shouting and wailing. Rebuke, cast out, put a stop to, and refuse to give credence or precedence to untruthful messages, disinformation, disparaging words, uncouth and ugly language. Don't keep piling on the panic. Be careful of what you share with others. Consider the sources of the information you impart, and just be gentle with one another. Don't push anybody else overboard. Don't laugh at anyone else's genuinely felt feelings. Next week, there will be some big emotions to deal with. Some people will be elated. Some people will be deflated. Some people will be relieved. Some people will be scared. Some people will be angry. I urge us all to acknowledge the rawness and the pain and the range of the rage that some people will feel. Whatever the outcome, please don't gloat. Let's help each other stay afloat because we're all in the same boat. Even in the midst of chaos, there will be comfort and there will be calm because there is Jesus and he is with us in every storm. He never promised that we would always have smooth sailing, but he did promise to always be with us no matter what. The disciples woke him up with a passive-aggressive question. Do you not care that we are perishing? We know the answer to that. Of course he cares, of course. He will not let us sink into the oblivion of despair. He will see us through. We still have work to do. So let us keep calm and Jesus on. Let us pray. Dear God, just as Jesus calmed the storms at sea, calm the storm in our hearts. Let Jesus speak to our racing minds when we can't sleep. Help us hear him tell us, be quiet, be still. Let us cling to his promise that we will get through to the other side of this. Especially be with us this week, God, and keep us safe in your care. Amen.
Tree in cocoons, a hidden pool.
butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until it seeds on something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds, a mystery, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. In our end is our beginning, in our time infinity. In our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity. In our death a resurrection, at the last a victory, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone.